This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, back on the pulse with Ali and Othniel tonight. That song you just heard was Just For Me by Pink Panthers.
Yeah, that was produced by Mura Masa, a name that I haven't heard in a while. Pink Panthers is just really on a roll this year. She was discovered rather accidentally where she uploaded her track on TikTok and it really blew up on TikTok. In fact, the one you just heard, right, Just For Me, she released a 15 seconds teaser on TikTok before it was even officially released, and it had it was used on 700,000 TikTok videos before this song was officially released. That's crazy.
That's
power
insane.
Of TikTok.
Yeah. Alright, so now we're gonna just nicely sweep into our quickfire news roundup that we call
By the way, a few weeks back, we talked about posthumous albums, right?
Yeah.
Putting the spotlight on a Pop Smoke record that didn't quite hit the mark. And it has become a real issue when the quality is not up to par, because most of the time, those songs are made up of demos and it's still largely unfinished. Well, Anderson .Paak ain't gonna let that happen. The talented singer, songwriter and drummer had a new tattoo done recently on his arm. It's a pretty big tattoo as well, I must add, where it read, "When I'm gone, please don't release any posthumous albums or songs with my name attached. Those were just demos and never intended to be heard by the public."
Whoa.
It's quite wordy for an arm tattoo, but I love it though.
Yeah, I saw it too.
That was way more words than I imagined. A very bold, permanent move. I mean, he's all about the small details, right? In fact, I just found out recently that... So Anderson .Paak, there's a dot, Anderson .Paak, right? So I just found out recently that the dot in his name was meant to signify his key attention to detail. So the dot is all about detail. So of course, he wouldn't want unfinished songs being released without him giving the stamp of approval. So let's just hope that his family will honour his wishes in the future.
Yeah, and by the way, earlier this month, one of America's biggest music festivals, Lollapalooza, took place at Chicago's Grant Park, and many of us were pretty shook by the amount of people that attended,
you know,
through the photos that came out online. It was reported that a grand total of 385,000 people were on ground for the four-day festival.
Sheesh.
Yeah, and you know, with that many people, of course, the next thing on the netizens' mind is, how is this safe in times of pandemic? I know it's America, you know, most people are vaccinated, but it's still too many people in one place. But on the upside, the festival ended up becoming a good test case for the live music industry. You know, as we know, as I mentioned, many Americans have been fully vaccinated, and punters who entered the festival grounds at Lollapalooza were required to show either proof of vaccination or a negative test result from the past 72 hours. And organizers have said that about 90% of attendees were vaccinated. The festival, of course, it was held outdoors, which also mitigates COVID risks. And also last week, Chicago's Public Health Commissioner, Dr. Allison Arwady, announced that a total of only 203 cases tied to the Lollapalooza Festival have been identified. And that is at a rate of about 4 cases per 10,000 vaccinated attendees. And they've also reported no known COVID hospitalizations or deaths connected to the fest. And, you know, although the Chicago Public Health Office provided numbers and deemed that the festival went ahead pretty safely, there have been reports online in forums where attendees testing positive for COVID the week after Lollapalooza ended. Of course, the Chicago Public Health Office responded to that. The relevant authorities have debunked these claims by saying that there is no evidence that Lollapalooza can be considered as a super spreader event, considering 385,000 people were on festival grounds that day. And also, you know, the cases and the cases that have been accounted for did not have any substantial impact to Chicago's COVID-19 case count. And so, you know, that's where we're at with 385,000 American people attending a music festival for the first time in like a year and a half since music industry and festivals had to be cancelled and all of that. But if you haven't seen any photos of Lollapalooza this year, you just Google it. Seeing so many people so close to each other screaming and singing at the top of their lungs and very, very few face masks. In fact, there was no face mask mandate as well going into the festival. That itself would be enough to give some of us anxiety.
Yeah, I remember seeing the picture and I thought, oh, that must be before the pandemic. Until yeah. I saw the date and right? I wait a minute.
Yeah, but also, you know, seeing that many people in a music festival might also be exactly what most of us are missing as well. Mm-mm. So, you know, let's hope for things to get better.
Another piece of news related to festivals. Yes, we have been covering the comeback of the live music industry, but as Mr. Para would have said earlier in the show, sadly, our live music in Malaysia is not happening yet, but at least we have live streams, which obviously will never replace the real thing, but it allows us to experience the festival while staying safely at home. Live streaming an entire festival is not really something that has been adopted by every single festival organizer, obviously. Coachella has been doing it for quite some time, right, for many years, and this year, Fuji Rock Festival will be streaming their entire festival for the very first time on YouTube. Fuji Rock took a break last year due to COVID, and previously, live streaming of Fuji Rock performances were only limited to a select few live shows. But this year, they're deciding to live stream everything on YouTube. This is the best opportunity to experience Fuji Rock if you haven't in the comfort of your own home. It's a three-day festival that starts this Friday on the 20th of August. Pretty excited for this one since I've never been to Fuji Rock personally. You have, right, Ali?
Yes, I have. 2012, and it was such a great experience being outdoors in the Naeba ski resort. It's in the summer, so there's no, you know, snow obviously, but still a great view.
Well, for the rest of us that haven't been, at least we can watch this live stream.
That's right.
Although I must add that there are no international acts in the lineup for this year's Fuji Rock, only local Japanese acts, but it's still an iconic festival that's definitely worth watching over the weekend.
That is right. So that's all we have for our quickfire news roundup. And that neatly brings us to the end of tonight's program. If you like what you heard on the show, you can check out the podcast at our website, bfm.my, and also the BFM app. If you like any songs that we've put on tonight, tweet us at BFM Radio. Let us know what else you would like to hear on the program. We're going to close off with one final song.
It's a brand new one, right? From Producer Brothers.
Disclosure. Disclosure have just announced that they're going to be dropping a new song every day this week.
They've been very productive, actually. Yeah. They've been live streaming on Twitch as well, giving song breakdowns and all that. They're really in the community.
Yep, so this one is a nice danceable number, as you would expect from a Disclosure track, but they released this yesterday, 17th of August, and they're going to be releasing more new tracks in the coming days. Just watch out for that. But here's the latest by Disclosure to play us out of tonight's episode of The Pulse. Disclosure with In My Arms on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.